вам speak on the theme and share on the thought that Jesus is the savior of the world. And the church says, he is the savior of the world. And we thank him for his blessings, and we thank him for leading us and ministering to us through all these seasons of our lives. But as we gather to celebrate the Christmas season, that we would give attention to it, that we would understand that this is an essential part of our faith, the incarnation, that as we celebrate the manger and Bethlehem and gifts and lights and seasons, that we would remember that it all revolves around Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. Father, we thank you for our time together, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would bless this time. And we pray, Lord God, that you would open our hearts to hear what you want to speak to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we live in a time when we constantly are reminded that this world needs a savior. We live in a time when we're constantly reminded that this world needs a savior. Many believe that what they need to save them is found in this earth, right? Many people believe that what they need to save them is money. Many believe that they'll find salvation in success. They'll find salvation in the love of someone else. If I could just find my soulmate, I'll be okay. You know, many believe that salvation is found in being busy, in working hard, in achieving the American dream of a house and a nice car and a nice family, a dog, and maybe they find salvation in those things. But when we look around us here today, we still see so much hurt. We still see so much pain. We see so much isolation. We see hatred. We see so much racism. We see sin and selfishness. Right? And we have to come to the conclusion that what this world needs is a savior. And the only savior for this world is Jesus. He's the only savior for this world. We have heard this answer, and we have known that Jesus is what this lost world needs. We need him because not only will he save us from eternal condemnation, but once we've come to know Jesus, He just doesn't save us from eternal condemnation, but he also walks with us and is in us. And we get to enjoy a life of peace and a life of faith and a life of righteousness. And all these things come as we come to understand that Jesus, he is the Savior of the world, but he's the Savior of our lives and our families. And not only is his impact in us eternal, but it's also daily. It helps us every single day in our lives. And some people would ask, how can I be sure of this? With so many religions and so many ideologies out there and so much philosophy out there, how can I be sure that Jesus is the Savior of the world? How can I be sure that if I place my faith in him, not only am I saved from eternal condemnation, but I get to enjoy a peace and a joy in this world, in this season of my life? How can I be sure of this? How can I be convinced of this? So as we approach the Christmas season, let us be reminded this morning of the incarnation, that Jesus 2,000 years ago left the side of the Father and he wrapped himself up in flesh and he was born in a manger and he did it for you, he did it for me, he did it because he would be the only answer and he would be the Savior of the world. That only a perfect sacrifice can save us from eternal condemnation. So looking at the scriptures this morning, I want to encourage you, I want to remind you that we live in a world that has hope. We live in a world that has hope. We live in a world that has an opportunity to come and know a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And without a doubt, he is the Savior of the world. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. You may stay seated and join with me as we read these verses. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And we read in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The name Jesus means Savior, for he is the Savior of the world. And as we look at these scriptures and we hear the thoughts of our world needing a Savior, there's a few reminders for us in these verses that we read today. A few reminders for us that remind us that Jesus is the Savior. That we can place our faith in him. That he's greater than any philosophy of this world. He's greater than any ideology of this world. There is no religion that can be compared to our living Savior, and his name is Jesus. And as we look at these verses, I'd like to share with you some reminders this morning. The first reminder is, in these verses, we're reminded that Jesus is the promised Messiah. I love that when the angel appeared to Joseph in the dream, he calls him Joseph, son of David. The scriptures remind us that the Messiah would come from the line of David. It was a reminder to Joseph where his lineage was from. It was from King David. And the Lord had given the prophet Isaiah these words many years before, speaking of the promised Messiah. And he said in chapter 11, verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And here we see that Jesse is the father of David, and is a reminder to us that God prophesied hundreds of years before that from the line of David, the Messiah will come. The angel appears to Joseph and calls him son of David. A reminder that he was part of the lineage, and the promised Messiah would come from this lineage. The Hebrew people were waiting for someone to deliver them. They were waiting in search of someone, a Messiah that would come and be a great king and be a great conqueror. Someone to set them free from the Roman Empire. They were waiting for someone to come with mighty works and mighty powers. They were waiting for someone that the crowds would follow, that would be a leader, that would be a deliverer, that would be a Messiah, that the armies would want to engage with. They were waiting on the Messiah to deliver them. And Jesus comes and he fulfills all the qualifications of the Messiahs. All the prophetic expectations of the Messiahs, of the Messiah was confirmed in the life of Jesus. All that the Old Testament writers wrote about with regard to the Messiah, Jesus all fulfills them all. In fact, I love the one in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that tells us the birthplace of the Messiah, that it would be in Bethlehem. And it is now fulfilled in Matthew. And we also see that Abraham reminds us, Moses reminds us through the life of Abraham, that the Messiah would come through his descendants in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13. In 2 Samuel, it tells us that the Messiah would come from the house of David. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 tell us that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, that his name would be Emmanuel. And there are over 40 prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah, and Jesus fulfills them all. Why? Because he is the Savior of the world. Jesus affirms all those prophecies, proving that he is the Messiah. Not only does he fulfill these prophecies, his life was a perfect example of what the Messiah would be. His life was a perfect example of what the Messiah would be. It was believed from many that encountered Jesus that he convinced them, that they came to their own conclusion just looking at Jesus, saying he must be the Messiah. The things that Jesus did, the miracles that he did, the sins that he forgave, the way that he taught, the way that he confronted religious leaders. It was an absolute sure for those that were close to Jesus. He must be the Messiah. On the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a colt, on Palm Sunday, he entered into Jerusalem, and the people themselves affirmed this. He did not have to make the declaration, but the people affirmed it. And they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest." The people themselves made the declaration. Jesus, he must be the Messiah. One time Jesus was walking into the city, and two blind men began to call out to him. And they said this, "Have mercy on us, Son of David," making a declaration that he was the Messiah. When we read the genealogy of Luke chapter 3 and the genealogy of Genesis chapter 1, as we look at the genealogy, we can see that Jesus is the Messiah. And at the end of time, when it's all said and done, in Revelation chapter 22 verse 16, Jesus will make this public declaration where every knee had bowed and every tongue had confessed and every eye had seen. Jesus will make this declaration and he will say, "I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." It would be a declaration and a reminder to us that only Jesus is the Savior of the world. See, it's important for the Hebrew people to know that Jesus had to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah, because they were waiting on one that had been sent by God and God alone. It had to be somebody that was greater than Adam, somebody that was greater than Noah, somebody that was greater than Abraham, greater than Isaac, greater than Jacob, even greater than Moses. It had to be the Messiah, and he would save the Hebrew people. But I love that there's good news for us, the Gentiles. He did not just come for the Hebrew people, but he came for us as well. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 tell us, "He came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God." He opened the door for you and for me. And that's why today he is our Messiah. What a beautiful promise for us, the Gentiles, to all who believe in his name. That's you and that's me. So today, if you are in need of a deliverer, someone to help take you out of your captivity, out of your darkness, I tell you that Jesus, he is the Savior of the world. He is. I tell you, perhaps there's someone here today that's looking for a deliverer, looking for one to help them. I want to remind you that Jesus, he came into our reality and he met us here and he walks with us every single day, not to condemn us, but to care for us as our Messiah, as our Savior, as the Savior of the world. Maybe you're here and you're dealing with hurt or pain, or you feel lost or condemned by your past. I want to remind you that Jesus, he is the Savior of the world. And all who call upon him, the Bible says, all who call upon his name will be saved. As we approach the Christmas season, let us be reminded that Jesus, he is the promised Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And the church says, amen. As we talk about, you can give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. As we read these verses, we are reminded of a few things, that he is the promised Messiah. The angel said, Joseph, son of David. Number two, we're also reminded that he is the God-man. In these verses, we're reminded that Jesus came as God and Jesus came as man. That he is the Son of God and he is the Son of man. Verse 20 tells us, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The angel was telling Joseph, no man has done this. The angel was telling Joseph, the baby that she carries has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary will carry the Son of God. He will be God and he will be man. He will be 100% God and he will be 100% man. Jesus is the Son of God and he is the Son of man. Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin. He subjects himself to the limitations of a human baby. He subjects himself as God to a servant, to the limitations of a human baby, the need to be fed, the need to be changed, the need to be cared for. He subjects himself to hunger, to thirst, to pain, even emotional feelings like weeping and disappointment. This is the true story of Christmas. Paul explains this well in Philippians chapter 2 when he says, who being in very nature of God, talking about Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He emptied himself, kenosis. He humbled himself and took on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being made just like you and just like me. But make no mistake, he did not empty himself from his position of being God, or his authority of being God, or his power of being God, but he subjects himself to the human body. He subjects himself to the position of a slave, but never releasing, never relinquishing his deity, only choosing to place it under submission of the human form for the purpose his Father has sent him, to be the Savior of the world. When you think about that, all that Jesus did for us, he being completely omniscient, completely omnipotent, completely omnipresent, completely transcendent. When he is completely all that he is, he subjects himself to the human body. And he subjects himself to be a slave to humanity. And he did it for you and for me so that he can be the Savior of the world. The Apostle Paul writes it well in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And he says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we may become rich. I don't know how that resonates with you. I don't know how that moves within you. But he gave all his riches up so that we who were poor can become rich. He left heaven and came to earth so that us who are on earth one day we can go to heaven. That is the message of Christmas, and that is a reminder to us that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I love the way the Apostle John writes this in John chapter 1. He introduces the Messiah to the hearers. He introduces the Messiah to all those that would hear, to the church. But he does it different than Matthew. He does it different than Mark, and he does it different than Luke. Well, they introduce the incarnation, the Son of Man. But John introduces him as the Son of God. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word, the Logos, It is the spoken word of God. He's talking about Jesus here. And John introduces Jesus here as the one that has been there from the beginning, the eternal God. He reminds us in the beginning was the Word. And he talks to us about Jesus' eternal position, that before time, he was there. And he tells us that the Word was with God, his position along the right side of God. He reminds us of his deity by saying, and the Word was God. And talks to us about his power. And he tells us through him all things were made. And it was a reminder to the hearers. They knew exactly what the writer was doing here. He was reminding them of Genesis chapter 1. That the spoken word of God is what brought life to this earth. And he was reminding them that Jesus was there in the beginning. And in case there was a misunderstanding of who the Logos or who the Word was, he tells them in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. He is God, incarnation, and he is the Savior of the world. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why we put lights on our homes. We put trees in our settings. This is why we share gifts. I know that our kids are excited about Christmas and for those who share gifts, and I hope that you all share gifts. I hope that you share gifts with your spouses. I know sometimes we feel, share gifts with your spouses. Come together. Why? Because we are reminded of the greatest gift. And I love that the Apostle Paul calls him the indescribable gift. And we come together in this season to remember Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. And he is God and he is man. Maybe you need a Savior, someone that can understand you and help you. I want to tell you that Jesus, the God-man, is the answer. He is the Savior of the world. He is God because only God can save us from a lost world. And he is man because only man can sympathize with us. He knows what we have gone through. He knows the hurt that you have gone through. You've been hurt, so has Jesus. You've been betrayed, so has Jesus. You've been rejected, so has Jesus. The Bible tells us that we have a high priest. Who is able to empathize with our weaknesses. And he knows what we have gone through. And he has been tempted in every way, just as we have been tempted, yet without sin. So the man, Jesus, was tempted just like you and I, was hurt just like you and I, was betrayed just like you and I, has had to deal with some hardship just like you and I, knows what it is to suffer loss just like you and I. And he tells us, I can walk with you in this life. I am the Savior of the world. Not only can I rescue you from complete condemnation as God, but as God-man, I know what you've been going through, I know what your struggle is, and I can walk with you here on earth. And because I showed you that I could have victory, I want to tell you that with me, you can also have victory. It's a reminder to us why we celebrate Christmas, because of Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of the world. Maybe you're battling in your faith. Put your trust in Jesus. So as we read these verses, we're reminded about Jesus, the Savior of the world, that he is the promised Messiah. That's why we can trust him. Absolutely. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, the prophets prophesied about the Messiah. Oh, and if you want to just Google prophecies of the Old Testament about Jesus, you'll see them come up, and you can go through the scripture and enjoy reading how the Old Testament spoke about the Messiah. And Jesus fulfills those prophecies. And here comes Matthew, and he reminds us of how great he is. He is the promised Messiah. He is the God-man. He is 100% God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God. But then he was born of a woman, right? He is also man. And because he is God and he is man, he is the perfect Savior. And the church says, Our last reminder this morning, as we look at some of these verses, we're reminded that Jesus came to abide with us. Abide with us. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He walked on earth 2,000 years ago, and today, through his Holy Spirit, he lives in each and every one of us. God has always wanted to have communion with man, and we were created to have communion with God. We could see it in the Garden of Eden where God walked with Adam and he walked with Eve, and sin destroyed that level of communion, but Jesus restored it. What one man destroyed, one man restored. Why? Because Jesus wanted to abide with us. He wanted to walk with us. And the Bible teaches us that once we ask Jesus into our lives, he saves us, he fills us, and he lives with us every single day. That's why he told his disciples, at his time of departure, he tells his disciples, I will always be with you. I will always abide with you. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, the triune God, the Holy Spirit, fell upon all people, fell upon the church on that day. And we know that they were filled with power. And it was a reminder to the church that Jesus was once again with them through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's a constant, there is a constant invitation on behalf of Jesus to abide with us, to abide with him. In John chapter 15, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. It's a reminder to us that he lives with us every day. Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Savior of the world. How does this change everything? How does this change everything? Emmanuel, God with us. How does this affect us? Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we truly can receive the gift of God. That is what? God with us. But not just with us as a friend who walks beside another friend. Although he does that, he walks with us. But not just like that though. But he is with us, and he comes to live inside of us, and he dwells within us, and he gives us strength in place of weakness, courage in place of fear, a vibrant life in those things that want to be stagnant within us. He comes and brings joy in the midst of circumstances like hardships and trial, healing in the midst of sickness. God with us is not just walking alongside of us, but he changes everything that has to do with the core of who we are. That's what Emmanuel means, and that's why he is the Savior of the world. The night before he died, Jesus promised that he would send an advocate, that he would send a counselor, that he would send the Spirit of truth that will come and live with us and be in us. And we no longer are people that have to live alone, but we are reminded of Emmanuel that says, God is always with us. So as we celebrate this Christmas season, and we celebrate the gift of Emmanuel, he is the Savior of the world. And because Jesus is alive and well, it changes every part of who we are. It changes every part of our home and our lives. Our homes are a reflection of who Christ is. Why? Because he abides there. Our lives are a reflection of who Christ is. Why? Because Emmanuel, God with us, he abides there. We are victorious yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Why? Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Savior of the world. So we can approach every day knowing this, that we don't walk alone. That our Savior, who died on the cross 2,000 years ago, who was the promised Messiah, who is God and is man, he dwells with us every single day to give us victory in this world we live in. He is the Savior of the world. And as I close our teaching this morning, I just want to remind you that as we approach Christmas, let us not forget why we celebrate. Let us teach our children this is the reason. And we take the opportunity to be generous. We take the opportunity to show the love of Christ. We take the opportunity to share good tidings and to share gifts and to be reminded that the reason we celebrate this season, it's more than just satisfying our own nature, but it's a reminder to us that 2,000 years ago, Jesus left the side of the Father. He wrapped himself up in flesh. And he became the incarnation. He became the God-man, the promised Messiah that would abide with the church for eternity. This is why we celebrate Christmas, because of Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand this morning. This must be the message of the church. During the Christmas season, let us take the opportunity to share the gospel, the good news. People are in a celebrational spirit. Let us not come across so religious, though, or judgmental, but let us come across with a servant's heart. But let us come across like a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus, He is the Savior of the world. As the Church of Christ, this is a pivotal time for us. A pivotal season for us. It's great. Elsie and Yvette and Aris have done a wonderful job decorating our church and our foyer, and this is beautiful. And I know some of your homes are awesome, and our trees are up, and our budget is out the roof. And all those things are awesome. It's good. But that we cannot forget the big exclamation mark in the middle of it all. That we cannot forget to teach and share and live that Jesus, He is the Savior of the world. And let us not take this lightly. This is not something mystical or religious or historical. No, Jesus is so real that they prophesied about him hundreds of years before his birth. And he fulfilled every prophetic word that was said about him. He is the promised Messiah. No one else can make that declaration. No one else. It could be said of no one else. On Easter, we talk about his resurrection. No one else has an empty tomb. But on Christmas, we talk about the prophetic word about Jesus. No one can fill those prophecies. Only Jesus. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And he was there at creation when God's spoken word brought life to this world. He was there at creation when God's spoken word brought life to this world, because he is deity, because he is God. And he was there. And John affirms that by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then the Word became flesh. Letting us know deity, God, humanity, flesh. He is the God-man. No one else. No one else is the God-man, only Jesus. And he is God in full authority, in full power. Even when he was on earth, he had it all. But he subjected to the flesh. He subjected to become a servant for you and for me. And he suffered bitterness, hurt, pain, betrayal, anguish, loss. Why? So that today he can say, I know what you're going through, but because I was victorious, you also can be victorious. And only a perfect sacrifice, God, deity, can save us. So he did it for us. So he saves us from condemnation, and then he walks with us as well, giving us the victory every single day. And then he reminds us, Emmanuel, I'm always going to be with you. And because I'm always with you, it's a game changer. In time of discouragement, you can be encouraged. In time of loss, you can be comforted. In time of weakness, you can be strengthened. Why, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Savior of the world. And this is why we celebrate Christmas. And the church says, as we gather today, let us be a herald of the gospel of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for leaving the side of the Father and being wrapped up in flesh and being born in a manger. Not like a king, but like a slave. And you did it for us, O Lord. And as we approach the Christmas season, that we would be reminded of this, that we would be a herald of the gospel of Jesus. A herald of the gospel. Lord, that the next few weeks of celebration, Lord, that we will constantly take pauses and remember you. And take pauses, Lord, and share the good news with our family and our friends and our co-workers and our neighbors. And we can be a reminder that Jesus is the reason for this season, that he is the Savior of the world. Father, if there's someone here today that is far from you, you are Emmanuel, God with us. You draw near to us to help us, to lead us, not only to save us, but to give us victory here on earth, O Lord. I pray that if there's somebody here today, they can capitalize this season to say, I am gonna live for Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Perhaps there's someone here today that you feel far from God. And the Lord is talking to you. And your faith is being encouraged through the Word to put your faith in Him. Today is a good day to make a new commitment. Today is a good day to get a restart. It's a good day to say, you know what? I find myself struggling a little bit. I want a prayer of faith that will draw me closer to Christ. As we sing this next song, the altar is open. I'd love to pray for you this morning.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.